Welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast, a production from Empowering Pumps and Equipment as the voice of the pump and related equipment industry. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Empowering Industry Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Matthews. Like every Monday, I'm so excited that you joined us. And, you know, I am excited to share this episode. So make sure that you've liked and subscribed. So when I give you that cue later on that you just, you know, can click the button and share. So I have a very special guest, a partner of ours, but just a really cool guy. And I want to bring him on. John Wilson, welcome to the podcast. I'll just let you start by introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, Charlie, it's great to be on this. As I would say, the long time listener, first time caller. Okay, but thanks for having me on. But I always love listening to the podcast, especially when I'm walking on the treadmill, which is not what I enjoy doing. But Charlie, I'm the CEO of Industrial Flow Solutions, focused on really difficult and intelligent pumping applications. And I'll talk a little bit more, but an entire career in history in the flow control industry. And again, really happy to be here and have an opportunity to talk to you today.
Yes. And I got to see you most recently at WEFTEC, and your display there, it was really amazing. You could tell that there was something unique about it. And when talking to your team, we really could see that the whole engineering team and the marketing team, really your organization, got together and had all of those pieces designed for industry in mind of like, what does this look like? What is this going to feel like? And it was really a unique experience, but I loved so much of the passion around it, the excitement around it, that really just a display started that, right? Ignited that inspiration for everyone.
Yeah. And I'm lucky. I've got a great team. We've been able to attract a lot of great talent, but as I would say, WEFTEC is always a great event and a great opportunity to showcase things. But as I always say internally, never waste a good crisis, never waste a good event. And to me, always having that that line in the sand out there that, hey, we've got WEFTEC coming. You know, we've got to make sure that we've got the message right. We've got ourselves tied into really what it is we're trying to do, what we're trying to solve. And again, it's like training for a race or anything else. I mean, while doing the race is fun, the value is in all the prep and getting ready for it. And every time we go through that, that's one of those at the end of it, it's a collective sigh. And then it's also one, it's like, wow, that was a lot of fun. Let's go do it again. And again, fortunately, again, like I said, we've got a great team and they're always looking forward to that, that next hill to go climb. So, so it's always fun. And, they keep me in shape. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, they did an excellent job, all of you. And I have pictures if anybody wants to see that of the very cool design. But I want to talk a little bit more about you, John. How did you get into this industry? There's so many different directions. I'd love to hear that part of the story.
Yeah, it's as my wife always says, she tries to understand how I get so excited about some of this stuff. But I either fortunately, unfortunately, had a, like I said earlier, an entire career in the flow control industry. But I grew up in a small town in Nebraska. My father actually worked in a manufacturing plant, and it was always part of our kind of part of our dinner conversation, everything else. But one day I came home from, I don't remember, some football practice or some sporting event, and my father says, "You got a job. You start next week." And Charlie, I'm 12 years old, 13 years old at the time, okay. And so, I spent, for a lot of years, I spent my weekends working in that facility, doing, everything from cleanup to maintenance, everything. And, thanks to my dad, I always joke about it, but I was a licensed forklift operator before I could ever, operate a car. And, but it was one that, you know, that was a great introduction into the market space. And as I had the luxury then of being able to go to school, either I was smart or crazy, but went in for chemical engineering, and at the time, graduating in the middle to late 90s, was not a great time for chemical engineers. Oil prices weren't great, but I took a little bit different path than a lot of others, and I ended up in taking a role more focused on the power market. And so at about that time, the a lot of the you know, the concept of deregulation started to happen in various states, and so you started to see a lot more move to private enterprises coming in and investing in the power infrastructure. And so I had a great opportunity, you know, worked at a boiler manufacturer, worked in a power plant, and then started my career at Emerson and in their flow control side, specifically in the control valve front. And got to, as I would say, I got to crawl through about every power plant in the country and eventually in the world. But it moved from that, from engineering roles to, you know, was able to springboard that into everything from product development, commercial engagement, all the way into a strategic account management. And then had an opportunity to live overseas. You know, my wife and I would say, I mean, our daughter got a great opportunity open in Singapore, and had an opportunity to move more into the business management side, and to be able to lead, you know, some pretty big businesses, but also to go through it, really a cultural transformation, you know, personally and professionally. And it was a great opportunity. And then went through a lot of merger, acquisition, integration work and planning, and then somehow found myself that next step in the flow control space, in the pump side of it. And as I always say, whether or not it's in the top of the plant, the bottom of the plant, hey, you got to move fluids one way or another. And so again, good or bad, an entire lifetime spent in that space.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I thought it was interesting, kind of Nebraska, then Iowa, and then you throw in Singapore in there, and then you come back, you do come back and back to Iowa.
Yep.
Now, are you in Iowa or are you Connecticut now? Where's home?
Well, I have a place in a lot of places. I spend more of my time on Delta Airlines right now, I believe, but I've got, I spend a lot of my time in Connecticut, but we've also had the opportunity as part of Industrial Flow Solutions to really to partner with some really great, prior owners and companies in Europe. And so right now we're in the process of building out a lot of our European capabilities. So everything that we've been able to do domestically, going through all of it again right now in Europe. So I spend a lot of time in Italy, spend a lot of time in our operations in Scotland, France, and really just like you talked about with WEFTEC and our whole approach of being able to solve challenging pumping applications. As we always say, you know, changing the world one wet well at a time. Same thing happens in Europe. I mean, a lot of aged infrastructure, need for investment, and really excited to be able to leverage a lot of the skill sets that we've been able to harness and develop in the US and be able to take those into the European market. And now moving into Australia, New Zealand, Southeast Asia. Again, it's a lot of fun and a few gray hairs to go with it, but again, a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, your past self looking and being like, he's the CEO, you know, and being so excited about the journey that really just saying yes to all these different opportunities. Is there a secret sauce or what kind of advice would you give to people to? Yeah.
Well, depends on how long you want to be here. Okay. But, you know, I think there's a couple ways I look at it. I think, you know, one, you know, there's always great opportunities, but make sure they're the right one for you. Charlie, honestly, I turned down a lot of opportunities that were just, they just weren't the right ones for me. They weren't the right ones for my family. But to me, it was always, hey, look on how you're going to be able to, you know, grow and develop. And for me, every time I've taken a new role, a new challenge, you know, there's always the career aspect of it. But to me, it's a, hey, what am I going to learn? And how am I going to be able to stretch and challenge myself? And I think that's the thing I always try to do for myself. But again, I think you go back to even what you mentioned with our team, you know, that's the same type of thing. It's really looking for that next hill to go climb and to have fun while you're doing it.
I love that. You just literally picked my question out of my brain just then. You know, it is about the team and how do you keep them motivated? And I can see it. I can see the culture and the passion for working there and the excitement to work with you. You know, what is that like every day with your staff and really bringing them along with that vision?
Yeah. And then, you know, everybody's got different views on leadership and engagement. And I guess my approach has always been be honest. Okay. Be honest, be transparent about where we're going. Be honest about, hey, guys, that sounded like a great idea. Ended up being a train wreck. Kill it, move on. And I think the piece is don't be afraid to fail, but if you're going to fail, fail fast and make an adjustment and go forward. And I think you know, the way that we've tried to really develop our team and give them enough runway to be able to have opportunities to do that. And really to be able to, you know, be open to make a mistake or two. Again, as I would say, I mean, you're not going to break anything. And I'd rather, you know, it's always easier to pull the reins back than it is to try to kickstart some things. And I think for me, that's the way that, that I've always tried to do that is just make sure, hey, go run hard. And again, if we make a few mistakes, it's all right. We'll go deal with it. But, you know, I think probably some of the best advice I ever got, and the thing that, you know, I was trying to instill in people is you don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to, you know, don't have to be the fastest, but don't get outworked. Okay. And I think that's the way that, you know, for me, myself, my team, it's always, hey, don't get outworked. You know, we're going to work harder than everybody else. And again, you do those things that, you know, that old adage of luck favors the ready and the prepared. And that's the way that, to me, if you work hard, make sure you get your nose down on that, good things happen. And that's the way that, for me, that's the way I've tried to treat my life, but also the same way, if you see really anybody on our team, you see a lot of that, like I said, I've just been lucky enough to be surrounded by a lot of people that, like doing the same thing.
Yeah. And I think there is something to that pride in hard work. And, when you are, you know, enjoying your career, then you will work hard for somebody, right? And if you do feel valued, and the hard work is the fun. I absolutely love a good hard working day. I felt like I accomplished something, right? But only in the environment where you feel that you're valued and trusted, and you know that you're able to give your ideas. That I think that's a big part of it, is creating that culture and environment. I love what you said about, like, sometimes it's the right field and the right job, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah. And to me, that's where I always go back to, is be honest. Okay. Be honest with people on where they're at, what they're doing. Be honest with yourself. And to me, you know, so I was joke. I get to celebrate my 24th wedding anniversary earlier this week. So I've been told I've been wrong for a lot of years. Okay. But it's also one that, hey, you make a mistake, own it. Okay. And to me, that's where, you know, as I try to look at that, not just, you know, with your team, with yourself. And it's one that nobody's perfect. Nobody can be good at everything. And it's one of those, I said, be honest with people, be transparent. Hey, we tried this. It worked. It was great. Let's go do it again. We tried this, or I tried this. Yeah. And it was a failure. Own it, admit it, learn and move on. And I think that's the, creating the right environment for people to be able to do that. You do those things, I mean, people are going to find ways to flourish. And that's the exciting part and the fun part about this job, is being able to provide the right level of guidance. And I say is, you know, make sure we got, you know, maybe some bumpers on the outside of the lane. Okay. Just make sure that we can bounce off it a few times, but really, again, give people a good direction, give them opportunities to succeed, and then just get out of their way.
Yeah. And you're also, stretching kind of what you're talking about, this international presence and that risk taking or pushing yourself outside of the comfort zone. I'm sure there's, like you said, as far as learning, you've got to be learning a lot along the way of growth. And I think that's also, they're seeing that in you because you're doing it right as you're leading the company, and that trickles down. So with that, we understand, like, the future holds this kind of international presence. And is there anything else that you kind of see as far as industry or company that the future for your company looks like?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. I mean, there's always the, as I was saying, I mean, it's a solid foundation of us being technology focused, being problem solvers, but it's really trying to make sure that, as we talk, it's easy to say global. There's a lot of work behind it, but I think it's really making sure that it's expanding upon both really the technology that we try to bring to the market, but also really covering everything from a typical pump application where you've got a flow control, a little switch on it, all the way then into doing everything for really, I think sometimes the industry 4.0, the IoT thing gets a little overplayed in certain ways, but I think it's making sure that you've got the right level of enabled technologies to help your customers on that journey. And I think that's the piece for us, as we're doing this, is that I think some people try to digitize everything just because, and to monitor everything just because. And to me, it's more of a each industry runs at their own pace. The oil and gas market runs at a different pace than your traditional power market or in the municipal side. And so to me, what we've really tried to focus on is to have the right level of technology that allows our customers to really come up that journey at the pace they want. Now, we can help them get there, everything from monitoring their assets, intelligent pumping control systems, being able to you know, integrate multiple stations, for example. But again, some, it may not be the right thing for certain customers. And I think that's the piece for us that, you know, as we really look at it, it really building out our capabilities, our portfolio is to be able to have the breadth of it, but not just try to push it just because that's the flavor of the day. We know that the fundamentals are right. We know that, you know, the market needs improved efficiency, improved data availability, improved decision making as part of that, you know, that access to data. And it's one, great, help them along, but don't think you're going to change everybody to all go in one direction, because that's not how the world works. And I think for us, as we, you know, we really embark on that journey from our side, hey, each one's going to come up at their own pace, and we're going to be there right with them to help them on that journey. And I think coming back and looking at it from a European standpoint, looking at it from other parts of the world, and even coming back to the U.S. is no doubt, especially if you kind of shift a little bit into infrastructure, those markets, it's an aged infrastructure. It needs investment. And it's one that making sure that it's not just invest to invest. It's making sure it's the right investment. It really then looks at what's the right thing for, you know, the users, what's the right thing for the, you know, for the communities. But I think then it moves into the next phase of, you know, as I think about, you know, my daughter at her age and going through university right now, it's also on all of us to make sure that we leave things in a better place. And that's when I start to look at it. Okay, as we're starting to bring out technology, what's it doing for the environmental impact of this? What are we doing for more of the social impact into the marketplace? And to me, I think a lot of people talk about it, but, you know, for me, that's what I get excited about when you look at the solutions we provide, the technology, and really even the innovation that our team really is bringing forth right now. It really is all of that over. Hey, we know the market needs us. We know there's an environmental impact. We know that we got to do our part to be able to make a change there. And said, you get me excited about a lot of these things. Okay. And I think that's where, you know, for all of us, I mean, you can hear the passion in my voice probably, but you can hear it with all of our team as well. And that's what we, again, wake up every day excited about, knowing that we've, you know, it's all of us can play a small part, but also a big part in all those aspects from everything we do.
Well, you know, I love to say pumps are vital to life, and it's so important that we are understanding all of these different cultures. I love to see it. I love that our partners are thinking big like this, because every small change that we make, it does go into this larger change and impact for our world, like you said. And it's wonderful. So much. Thank you for your time, for being here and sharing. I know I'm honored, you know, CEO to CEO, but yours is a different
honor's
different
all mine. So
complexity there as far as your job, but I'm excited to see. I remember, you know, the first time I had been at one of the divisions there in New Haven, and then to see it all grow has been remarkable. So thanks for letting us be on that journey with you. I can't let you go though without a little rapid fire. And so my questions are,
go for it.
What is your favorite book?
Oh, well, I love reading, but there's probably one that has stuck with me more than I ever thought it would. But I love Jennifer Egan's A Visit from the Goon Squad. She's a tremendous author, but also has a way with developing characters and storylines that are just completely different than a lot of other people before her. And I actually just finished reading another book of hers over the weekend that I always find hers to really engage me. But I read a lot, so you get me all excited about her. I love Tana French and the Dublin Murder series. So if you want to go read about the Dublin Murder Squad, Tana French has a great series of books. And I think about Robert Galbraith, J.K. Rowling doing the Cormoran Strike novels. I mean, I read a lot of things, but like I said, it's Jennifer's A Visit from the Goon Squad had to be one of the best ones I've ever read.
I'll take a look at it for sure. And what type of music? What do you like to listen to?
Well, I'm not sure I went all that public, but
Favorite band
loud,
or
loud and fast.
Okay,
And
good, good, good.
loud and fast. But one of my favorite things is I do enjoy going to a good concert, and yeah, loud and fast is what I like.
Okay, awesome. And then what is the best advice you've ever received?
Well, I think, as I said earlier, the first piece that it ever was don't get outworked. Okay. And I think that was something that was instilled in me from, for literally from birth. But, I remember my father saying, if you're going to do something, be the hardest worker. Okay. May not be the best at it, but just be the hardest worker. But Charlie, I guess the other thing I'd say is I'm a firm believer that you've got opportunities to take, really good advice and bad advice and be able to use them for the betterment of yourself. And I think there was one piece of advice that somebody gave me that was probably one of the worst lines I ever heard in my career. But I think the piece I would say is find a partner, and it doesn't matter, what that looks like, but find a partner, have a coach, have a sponsor, but somebody that, honestly makes you better, helps provide you some coaching opportunities, keeps you humble, and keeps you balanced. And that piece of advice I heard at one point was, I had somebody one time tell me that I told my wife too many things about my career and about what I want to do with my career. And honestly, that's one of those where I took that advice the other way. It's like that was probably some of the best advice I ever got, because my wife is my partner. She does keep me humble. She keeps me grounded. And but it's also one somebody that you've got somebody to bounce ideas off of. And and while that was probably one of the worst lines I've ever heard, and something I would never say to anybody, it's one of those that frankly was probably one of the the opportunities to take that bad advice and use it for something good. And and to me, that's where I always look at that. I think having a partner, having somebody to lean on that you can go to for advice, a sounding board, doesn't matter who they are. Okay. Shannon just happens to be that for me, but it is one that it's the right thing to keep you balanced and to keep you humble. And especially you got a lot of good things going on. Sometimes you got to get a little bit of a smack back to reality.
Hold us accountable, please. I loved, we talked
Yes.
about this earlier about knowing your strengths and your weaknesses and what you're good at and what you're not. But also just somebody to cheer you on and someone to be there, when, it doesn't go quite the way and they kind of know that it didn't work out quite like you wanted it to. But I do want to just shift gears. I'm going to ask you the question just a little bit differently to leave our listeners with. If you were going to give a young person coming into the pump industry advice, which I know you've already done, what would that be specific to industry?
I think the thing that, the pump industry in general, like you said earlier, the world doesn't function without technology like this. And I think the way that I would look at this is that you've got an opportunity to solve a problem every day. Most people want to wake up and solve a problem, but it's also not just solving something that's in front of you. I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier. I mean, you have an opportunity to really to solve some of the world's biggest challenges by being able to be involved in this type of industry. You've got an opportunity to drive improvements, like I said, in environmental impacts, social impact. I mean, you think about just the whole concept of just water availability for people, and you can touch that literally every day. And I think that's one that sometimes it's easy for people to forget, but the world doesn't function without a lot of this control type of architecture with things like pumps, valves. I mean, a lot of people say, how can you get excited about that? And I go, how can you not? I mean, it's one that you really are out there being able to solve a problem and to help people. And I think that's the thing that, anytime that you're into it, I mean, there's a career. Okay. But again, you've got an opportunity to help people. You got an opportunity to help communities. You got an opportunity to help the world. And I think that's the part that, to me, anytime I'd be in front of anybody, that's what gets me excited.
I love it. And John, you did not disappoint. I knew you would bring the passion and energy. And thank you so much for your time. If people want to connect with you later, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, LinkedIn's always the best. Unfortunately, there's a few John Wilsons out there, but I think if you look for a John Wilson in Industrial Flow Solutions, you'll find me. But always happy to connect with like-minded partners out there. And Charlie, again, really appreciate the time. Love what you guys do across the entire Empowering brand. It's a great organization to be partnered with. You and the team have got a ton to be proud of. And again, the honor's all mine. Thanks for letting me play a small part.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if to everybody else, share this episode. It's going to touch somebody's life for sure. And until next time, be empowering.